Hey everybody, I'm Geek Soul Brother, and you're listening to my new podcast, Your Fandom Fix. It's a show that I talk about movies and TV reviews. I do commentaries about things that's happening in the blurred and nerd and geek universe. And I also do social commentary. I want to feature social commentary about different things, people, you know, in different disenfranchised communities that use some attention. I'm a big nerd, so I love talking about movies and TV shows, and there's a lot. There's a lot of superhero shows and sci-fi, fantasy, horror that I really get into. I also talk about old TV shows and movies because I'm an old geek. I'm an old black nerd that really has been watching things since the 70s. And I just like to present old stuff to new people, you know, to younger generations. And also a lot of new stuff I love to talk about for the old heads out there that might not have caught everything that's up to date. So I loved, again, talking about movies and TV. So expect that in my show. And just different topics, just everything science fiction, fantasy, horror, everything like that. A little bit of gaming. I don't game really, but I love the genre, of course, and I would love to have some people come on and talk about that, some of my friends that are gamers and so forth. But let me tell you guys, you can find me on Spotify. Just do a search for Geek Soul Brother and you'll find Your Fandom Fix, the new show. And you can also find me on Mondays at 6 p.m. on the Urban Socialite NJ, the Urban Socialites with an S, NJ.com. They have a show called, they have a digital radio station called Indie Live Music Radio. And you can find my show on there at 6 p.m. Monday nights. Shout out to Ayasha that runs the digital radio station and the website. Really appreciate her because she's such a positive influence and just such a positive spirited person. So really love that. All right, let's get into it. My first thing I want to talk about is the show that's on Disney Plus, Hawkeye. Hawkeye from the Avengers. I don't know. Some of you out there, it might not be your thing to watch superhero movies and TV shows and stuff like that. But Hawkeye is a TV show about a superhero after a big event happened in the Marvel Universe. A lot of you geeks out there know all of that, all the Thanos thing and everything. But just to catch everybody up. Hawkeye is a, he's an archer. He's also kind of like a secret spy. He used to be a secret spy. Then he turned into a superhero, lost his best friend, and now he's struggling with a lot of issues, PTSD, hearing loss, and so forth. So his new show, Hawkeye, is named after him. He's dealing with, trying to be home with his family and also trying to save this young lady, Kate Bishop, played by, what's her name? Allie Steinfeld. And, Kate has gotten herself into trouble, but she was inspired by Hawkeye when she was little, during a big event where Hawkeye was part of the Avengers and saved the city of New York and so forth against alien invasion. He didn't know, but he actually saved her life and the life of her mother. And since then, she's just been inspired to become a superhero, to become an Avenger and so forth. So far, we've seen up to episode four. Disney Plus has featured episode four. I like the show, but I the show's fun because of Haley Steinfeld. It's pretty fun, but I think that they could dive into Hawkeye's his trauma, really. I think this is a good opportunity for Disney to kind of dive into Tron. But it's Disney, right? So they don't want to get too deep, too sorrowful and stuff. I don't know, because they featured other shows. Scarlet Witch and Vision, she was dealing with her trauma, and she attracted an entire town. Not to spoil. Sorry to spoil. She attracted an entire town because of her trauma. You had Falcon and Winter Soldier. They had some issues going on. They had some serious issues about terrorism, but also about racism and stuff like that in Falcon and Winter Soldier. So I don't know if Disney could not have dived further into looking into Hawkeye's his name's Clint in the story. They could have dived a little bit more into looking into his trauma and looking into what he has to deal with as far as protecting his family. And that there was an event where he lost his family for a minute. For those of you guys that know, it's a snap. He lost his family in the snap, the blip, basically. He kind of shows it in the first or second episode, but after that, they really don't dive into it because they concentrate so much on Hallie's character, Kate Bishop. And I feel like if they had not went with the whole, you know, save it, a superhero kind of fish out of water with the, you know, saving the kid and making sure that the kid, meanwhile, the kid's trying to be a superhero partner and whatnot. If they didn't go in that direction, they could have still kind of played around with the story that they're dealing with, because at one point Hawkeye, when his family disappeared and everything, he dealt with it. He went in very dark areas, and he was a like I said, he was a spy. He was like a kind of like a super spy before he became a superhero. And sometimes spies have to do some dirty, nasty things, especially to evil people. And that's what Hawkeye was doing. So he had become this vigilante, and now he has to deal with it in the show. And also, Kate Bishop has to deal with these things because she got involved with his alter ego in a way, and now she has to deal with the repercussions too. So I like the show. I like how they make Hawkeye a relevant character as far as his skills and so forth. I just want them to dive more into what's going on in his mind, his heart, his psyche. And really, there's a couple episodes left. I don't think that there's much time to do that when he's fighting different things, but different villains and so forth while he's trying to save Kate Bishop. But I would like them to do that. I would like them to dive into, or maybe they'll do it in season two, hopefully. We'll see. What I did love, and what a lot of the people in community were talking about, was a special guest. I'm not going to spoil it because some of you guys might not have caught Hawkeye yet, but there's a special guest that was from the movies, and what they've been doing pretty good with the series is bringing people as special guests from the movies in different aspects. But in Hawkeye, there was a really great guest in there in the fourth episode, and I'm not going to spoil it. I was about to tell you gender or whatever, but I'm not even going to spoil that. The special guest did a great job and kind of opened up the ground level. So Marvel's doing several things. They're diving into the cosmos with the Eternals. They're going into the magic world with Doctor Strange and WandaVision and stuff like that. But they're also dealing with ground level threats with Falcon and Winter Soldier and Hawkeye and stuff like that. They're dealing with some ground level issues that affect the country, that affect you know freedom and security and stuff like that. So in this episode of Hawkeye, they kind of opened up the world a little bit more as to what's happening I don't know, with the darker side of the, espionage. Let's say the world of espionage and stuff like that. I do like the show, and I'm cool to see it. You know, to look forward to hopefully another season, stuff like that. I like Hawkeye. I don't think they ever gave him enough shine in the movies, or I don't think that they fleshed him out enough in the movies. This would have been a great opportunity to flesh him out in the show. But I Disney got so many shows lined up that I guess they're just like, you know, let's get Hawkeye out there. And really, they're featuring it also as a Christmas type of thing, like Die Hard and stuff like that. They're kind of featuring it as a Christmas celebration show too, with the timing and stuff. So we'll see what happens. I just hope that they give him kind of the respect that he deserves. I'd like to see him really do some stuff. There was a couple things that came out, but everybody's looking forward to Spider-Man this week. Spider-Man No Way Home, Tom Holland and Doctor Strange, Cumberbatch back as Doctor Strange. Very excited to see this, but I don't know. There's so much going on in this movie. And I'm telling you guys out there that don't necessarily follow the box office, the theaters are selling out already. They've been selling out for about a week and change. Spider-Man comes out the 17th, really comes out the 16th. A lot of people don't realize that movies come out on Thursday night sometimes. And, you know, you can see them then. I looked at the ticket sales, and there's a lot of theaters that are sold out. There's a lot of times in the theaters that are sold out. They're projecting that Spider-Man might make like $200 million. I'm guessing somewhere around there. I'm guessing like between 160, 200 million, something like that, in the box office. Why? Because, like I said, these tickets are flying. The seats are filling up. Some theaters are some blocks of time are just sold out in all theaters and whatnot. So, I'm just concerned that. Okay, so back in the day when they had the first three Spider-Man movies with Maguire, they were good. The first one was great. The second one was excellent. I loved it with Doc Ock. And the third one was so-so. And one of the reasons why I felt it was so-so was because it had so many villains in it that it kind of lost focus a little bit. And I'm a little concerned about this Spider-Man losing focus a little bit. But here's the thing. Marvel is helping to create the Tom Holland Spider-Mans, and that's why they've been so good. Sony's, they kind of like a little bit hit and miss. They're not too bad, but with Marvel involved, with Kevin Feige involved, the Tom Holland Spider-Mans have been pretty good. But this one has so many villains. You got Doc Ock in there. Green Goblin is showing up, Electro, you see Electro in there, and then you see some other ones, possibly Sandman is in it, possibly, I think you see Lizard in the background, something like that. I don't think it's Scorpion, I think it's Lizard. Vulture might show back up, I don't know, it's a lot, and you got Doctor Strange, in the trailer, you got Doctor Strange doing some stuff, and it's just, it's a lot going on. You got Zendaya playing MJ. I like that. I like the little twist in there. I love that she's getting in all these movies, and she's really getting her career together with that. But I don't know. Spider-Man No Way Home. Now the interesting thing about this is Spider-Man No Way Home is also, so Marvel's dealing with this multiverse thing, right? It's dealing with, it dealt with it in Loki, and the beautiful thing about it is that if you watch the trailer for Spider-Man, you watch the end when Doctor Strange is talking about, you know, they're coming in and the multiverse is coming together and this. you also see some of that in Loki. I'm not going to spoil Loki, but you see a little bit, a lot of the sides of the multiverse, a lot of different facets about what the multiverse could be. You also saw it in Spider-Man Into Spider-Verse with Miles Morales, you know, a couple of years ago. So Marvel has been planning this for a long time to kind of go into the multiverse and stuff. You saw it in Disney Plus's Watcher. What If series. They're gearing up. Marvel is gearing up for this huge storyline, that this huge phase that is going to impact all the corners of the MCU. And also, I believe that it's got to be that they're using it to bring in the properties that they bought from Fox, which is the Fantastic Four and the X-Men. And yeah, basically Fantastic Four and the X-Men, whatever else might be in those properties, they have to make sense, because where have the X-Men been for the past, you know, 10 years or so? Where's, not over 10 years, really. Where's, where have they all been? Where Fantastic Four have been and stuff like that. So they're going to use the multiverse, of course, to explain all that. I would suggest that if you see Spider-Man, if you geeks out there see Spider-Man, see it in 3D. If you like 3D, see it in 3D if it doesn't give you headaches and stuff. The only reason I say that is because the Doctor Strange was beautiful in 3D. One of the best movies I've ever seen in 3D. Because I don't know what it was. It was the magic. I don't know what it was, but the special effects looked so beautiful in 3D. I think I saw it twice in 3D and three times altogether. So I really enjoyed it. I would suggest, I'm going to try and see it a couple times this weekend with my friends. I'm going to try and see it in 3D. A few of my friends can't take 3D, but I'm going to try and see it in 3D just to see what it looks like. Dolby, definitely want to see it in Dolby or IMAX or something like that. I think it's going to be a big film. I think it's going to be just an epic battle. I don't know. It's got Spider-Man, and it's got Spider-Man. Oh yeah, of course. If the villains are coming from other universes, they're talking about the Spider-Man from the other two, you know, the other two movies. They're talking about them coming in. So we'll get Maguire. We'll get, I forgot his name off the top of my head, but we'll get the other young man that was playing Spider-Man. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm excited for it, but I also don't want to see too much in it. If it leaves off, it'd be really interesting if it leaves off in the cliffhanger. And lately, I've just been really excited to see the end credits as much as the movies. The end credits, I was so excited to see the end credits in The Eternals, even though The Eternals wasn't, you know, it was okay, but it wasn't, it didn't excite me too much. Those end credits did, though. I really loved the end credits. So, yeah, check it out. Check out Spider-Man No Way Home. Let's see what happens. And, let's see what the box office does. And also, I want to talk about, you know, the holidays are coming, so I want to talk about your geek holiday. In my old podcast, I used to have a podcast with my friends, Geek Soul Brother Nerdy Venoms. They're now called the Nerdy Venoms, so definitely check out the podcast. You can find it in different areas and stuff. I think Discord, they throw it up on Discord and, you know, a few other things, but just follow them, the Nerdy Venoms, and you'll be able to find the podcast. So we used to do a geek GIF ideas and stuff like that. I don't have any ideas right now. You know, if you know some nerds, I would suggest you get them a nice little Star Wars Lego set, or you can get them a sword, like a He-Man sword or Sword of Thunder from Thundercats or something like that. Or yeah, give them anything. Give them a figure, action figure, you know, whatever. Find their fandom. Find what their favorite fandom is, and just, you know, there's always something that you could get nerd or geek. And I'm telling you, if you get a little something, they'll get excited about it. But I gotta give a shout out to Jamela. I was talking to her earlier this evening, and she was telling me. Oh, I'm sorry. You can find Jamela at Omni76 on Instagram. She was just thinking about what does fandom look like during the holidays? Like, what does the geek fandom look like during the holidays? And I started thinking about it. Like, do you nerds out there and geeks, do you put little ornaments, little Star Wars or Batman ornaments on your Christmas trees? Do you do something else? Do you watch, I don't know, do you watch Santa Claus Conquers the Martians on... Yes, that's a real, that's a horrible, I did that for Saturday Night Sci-Fi a long time ago on Twitter. I used to do a hashtag. Do you look at movies with a little bit of a geek or nerd spin during the holidays and whatnot? We know the Home Alones, and we know the, you know, all the Rudolphs and, you know, Jack Frost and Frosty Snowman, all of that. What kind of nerdy stuff do you watch during the holiday? Or do you watch horror? Some of you little horror lovers, you Black Christmas or something, bloody, I forgot what it was, Black Christmas or something. There was a few horror movies that are done during Christmas. I don't know if that's something that you guys like too, but what is your fandom, what's your fandom look like during the holidays? Like, I know one thing. I know some of us geek and nerds, when we have family get-togethers, we're okay talking about the family and talking about stuff. And some of us get into sports, and some of us get into the nerdy stuff, and some of us get into both. So, you know, if you're looking, you know, maybe Thanksgiving Day, you're looking at the football games, but some of the nerds in the background, they'll be sitting to the side waiting for somebody to talk about the newest, you know, the newest Matrix movie that's going to come out, or, you know, something like that. they're waiting for a conversation. And I know in my experience, I always seek out somebody that I kind of know, you know, my brother-in-law or something like that, somebody like that, that I know I can have a good conversation with. I don't watch sports, so not really. I don't watch sports that much, so I always want to talk about the things that I love. And I'm just asking you, do you guys end up turning the conversations into like a nerd conversation or something like that? I know I do. I used to not know how to do it, but now I go like little family gatherings and I'll just ask if somebody's seen, you know, a movie lately or something like that. And then the conversation kind of goes into, you know, something that I'm comfortable with, if that's what other people are comfortable with. And we have a good time. We have a good time talking about it. But what's your fandom look like? Do you give nerdy gifts to people? Or here's the thing. Do people know to give nerdy gifts to you? That's the question. All you nerds and geeks out there, all you blurs out there, do people know to give nerdy gifts to you? Do they give you t-shirts with, you know, your favorite superhero on it? Do they put you onto some movies? Do they get some movies for you? Do, you know, figures, like I said, Lego sets or whatever. You know, do they respect your fandom? Yeah, or do they even know about your fandom? Sometimes family doesn't even know what you're into. You gotta let people know. You gotta let your family know what you're into and stuff, you know, or your friends or whatever. You know, I had a nice little Christmas last year. One of my young brothers, he had got me a nice little Godzilla figure. Shout outs to Javon. I really appreciate it. Still sitting on my desk now. You know, it's nice to get those little gifts and just get some appreciation for what you love. Or what you like. So yeah, how do you guys really celebrate your holidays and whatnot? What you're going to do for your holidays? I know some of you guys even bring it into the food area. You'd be making like cupcakes or something, like little cookies with maybe some Star Wars, some Baby Yodas on it or something like that. Hilarious. Again, you can find this show on Spotify. Just look for Geek Soul Brother, and Your Fandom Fix is on Spotify. And look for it on the UrbanSocialitesNJ.com. You can find it on Indie Live Music Radio, Monday nights at 6 o'clock. It's pre-recorded, of course, so when you hear it Monday nights, it'll be a pre-recorded show. So, I have another review. I've been watching a show called Foundation. It comes on Apple TV. Foundation is, I think I talked about it a little bit in last episode, but I almost finished it. Well, I did technically finish it. I missed one episode, but I did technically finish the season one, I believe. Foundation is an excellent show. It's an excellent sci-fi space drama. It's a real space drama, and I'm gonna get into some space dramas in a minute, but Foundation's a great show. It's got beautiful cast. Just read off a few. I love that some of the show it's telling several storylines at once, right? And it's to sum it up, it's a show about an empire that's 12,000 years old. It's humans all over the galaxy, and they're the most powerful entity in the galaxy, the Empire. And the Empire is actually headed by these clones that are the clones of the original Emperor. So this is like hundreds of years later. They just keep cloning the Emperor. And mathematician, Harry Seldon, he comes and he says that through his mathematic formulas called psychohistory, he's able to show that the Empire is going to crumble because it hasn't changed in hundreds, maybe thousands of years, and it's going to start crumbling because it's not adaptive and it's not growing. And they call him a heretic and so forth, but instead of killing him, they give him a planet. He basically, not gives him a planet, they give him a location to start a project that he wants to start, which is called the Foundation. The Foundation is what looks like a knowledge base, like a knowledge database. It's really Harry Seldon's attempt to start the seeds of another empire and start it as the real empire is crumbling. The new empire is going to grow, and it'll cut down on the time that there'll be just galaxy-wide chaos and whatnot. But the show stars Jared Harris as Harry Seldon, but also stars, what's her name? Lou LaBelle and Leah Harvey. I love the fact that the show revolves around two black women, two young black women that are really kind of like the meat of the show. They're kind of like the protagonists of the show, and I love how they structured the show with different areas in the universe. They're showing the emperors, but they're also showing these two women that are at the center of their stories and how the stories come together. It also stars Lee Pace as the Emperor Day, and Terrence Mann is the Emperor Dusk. So there are three emperors: Dawn, Day, and Dusk. The Day one is the main emperor that kind of calls the shots and stuff. But there's so many people of color in the show that I like. There's a lot of women characters in the show that I really like, that they just show different aspects of power, of strength and vulnerability, of course, and just different aspects of this universe. I feel like this is one of the better of the space dramas that I've seen in a long time. And just kind of clarify, this is my idea of what a space drama is, because there's a lot of space shows, but space dramas have a particular, I would say, a particular weight to them, a particular emotional and social weight to them that you don't see in things like Star Trek or, you know, something like that. Star Trek or Star Wars or something. Star Wars action, you know, kind of action. There was one, Rogue One, was a Star Wars movie that was a space drama. It had weight to it where, you know, the stakes are high, and if somebody made a wrong decision, or somebody made a sacrifice, they sacrificed their lives. And that's something what space drama is. Also, you know, Lost in Space. I want to talk about Lost in Space too, because the third season came out. I caught a little bit of the third season, but Lost in Space is really good. But yeah, the space dramas, they kind of have a seriousness about them that you don't see in other shows. So, you know, I don't know why some people don't get into it. Some people don't get into space stuff, and I understand. A lot of you nerds didn't watch Star Trek, like I always say. You know, I'm not going to judge you. There's no judgment here. Your fandom fix, it's not about judgment. It's about embracing what you love and not, you know, a lot of people in geek community, they kind of judge. I definitely got judged. I was with some friends, and they were surprised that I didn't watch any of the Harry Potter movies. And I know you guys out there are probably like, what? Geek Soul Brother, how could you not? I just missed them. I was probably working a lot, and I just missed, you know, I missed like the first one, and I just kind of, you know, didn't see the series from there. I'll catch up to it one day. My son always talks about how good they are. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why a lot of people don't get into space dramas, because it seems like dramas are very popular on TV and, you know, in movies, but you have a lot of TV shows that are dramatic. But when it comes to space, especially, I'm not going to say the brothers and sisters, I'm not going to say that they're particularly, but I just hear a lot of brothers and sisters, they say they don't watch this, not in the blur community. I'm not talking about blur community, because we watch a lot of stuff. We watch a lot of space stuff. I'm talking about people outside the community. They don't really get into stuff. But then again, I hardly meet anybody that's never seen Star Trek or something like that. Some good space dramas, just to cap it on down, talk about Lost in Space for a second. But The Expanse on Amazon, it started out on Sci-Fi Channel, and then it ended up on Amazon. Really good space drama. The stakes are high. And another thing about space dramas is that they're not just about... they could be about a few people, but in my opinion, they're about maybe like a political system or a social system that is going through changes. And then you focus on, you know, these characters that are in they're at the fulcrum of the change. Those are the type of shows that I would consider space dramas. They have a political impact, a social impact, but they're just shot in space. They're just on ships or on space stations or something like that. I could call Star Trek, I can't call Star Trek fully a space drama. Although it did have drama, it did have a lot of comedy and stuff in it, and some of the episodes, the weights were high, but I would call Star Trek Deep Space Nine, I would call that a space drama, because it had more of a dramatic effect, more of a, more gravity to it. Not, excuse the pun, but there was more seriousness to Star Trek Deep Space Nine. So if you get into Star Trek, Deep Space Nine is more the serious note there. Battlestar Galactica, not the 1970s one. That was okay, but the one that aired in the 2000s, I think it was from 2003 to 2006, somewhere around there, that was really good. I love that. It was one of the best dramatic shows that I've ever seen, period, let alone sci-fi shows. Battlestar Galactica was excellent. It kind of showed a microcosm of the human condition, and It just showed the different effects of what if humans had to struggle to avoid extinction, basically. But yeah, The Foundation is such a great show. Just getting back to that, Foundation is such a great show because it's shot well, it's beautiful to watch. Everybody's on their A game with the acting and stuff, and I think they casted it very well. And like I said, just beautiful characters when it comes to the women of the show. The men are great. It's just many people of color. It just shows something that you don't see in a lot of science fiction, is that the universe in the future is just filled with people of color. And it makes sense because how are, you know, people of color just missing in a lot of these sci-fi? Is very white oriented in a lot of older sci-fi shows and stuff like that and movies. But now you see stuff like Foundation. It's really beautiful. Lost in Space is also a very good series. I think I might have mentioned it before. I forgot if I mentioned it last episode, but Lost in Space season 3 is out, and it looks just as great as the other two seasons. It's about family, and I believe it's built on I believe it's based on the Robinson Crusoe, and then you had Swiss Family Robinson. Basically, people that were lost. These were stories back in the day. So then you had Lost in Space in the 50s, which was the Robinsons. They were lost in space, so based on Swiss Family Robinson. And now you have this new show based on the old TV series. Again, this family's lost. It's got this evil doctor, which she's not even a doctor. She poses as a doctor, but she's not even a doctor. Really good character, in that she's playing an evil role and everybody hates her, and she's really good. I forget the actress name, but they're really good. The show, Netflix really poured some money into this show because the backgrounds, the locations, they're all beautiful. The sets are really well done, and it still has that family orientation that people could kind of connect to, right? I think this season is the last season, so, you know, that's kind of sad to see, but the show's just good because it has a lot of action. It's modernized. It's not like the old show. And I was surprised that some people didn't know about the old Lost in Space. You should go check it out. You're going to laugh at how corny it is. Really corny. But for the 50s, it was an excellent sci-fi show. It lasted a few years. Started out black and white, actually. Then it became color. Lasted a few years. A couple years, I think. Something like that. I would have to go back and see. But Lost in Space now, great Netflix show. You should watch it. All right. Switching gears. I know I talked about Spider-Man coming out, and I am excited about it, but I'm also excited about a movie called Nightmare Alley. Seems that Guillermo del Toro has another film out. Nightmare Alley looks interesting. What's his name? Bradley Cooper and a few others are in it. Guillermo's kind of a hit and miss a little bit. I feel like sometimes he doesn't know how to close his stories in a particular way, so it leaves you kind of iffy. But I think he's a great storyteller, and he comes up with such imaginative things. Pan's Labyrinth was great. Shape of Water I didn't see, but I think either the film or he won Best Director, the film won Best Picture, Best Writing, something like that. It won an Oscar for something. Hellboy, one of my favorite horror films that he did, The Devil's Backbone. That was really good. It's kind of a story where it focused on the orphanage. I believe it was back in Spain in the 40s or something like that. And it was about a kid and a ghost and so forth. It was horror, but it was also a touching story about this kid. Him as a director, he's good. I can't deny that he's good. Him as a storyteller, he's very imaginative, and Nightmare Alley kind of looks interesting. Looks like it's about Bradley Cooper is playing like a psychic or medium or something like that, and people are trying to find out if he's real or not, and it goes into some scary moments, I guess, some scary situations for Bradley Cooper's character and stuff. So it looks interesting. I'm a little excited about it. I'm also admiring the fact that horror now is coming out any time of the year. I love the fact that horror doesn't necessarily have a season now, because they used to try to squeeze horror into maybe summertime and then maybe around Halloween and so forth. But now it seems like it's coming out at any particular time, and I like that because it breaks up kind of the monotony of seasonal movies and stuff like that. You got your summer blockbusters, you got your winter, thoughtful Oscar winning stories, stuff like that. And horror kind of negates all that, and you can watch horror at any time. It doesn't matter. It doesn't ruin anything. hopefully Guillermo has not ruined the Christmas season. We'll see. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Nightmare Alley as well. I'll try and see it this weekend so that I can give you guys a review. I'm looking forward to, whatever comes out. Matrix is also coming out. Not this weekend, but in a couple weeks, Matrix Resurrections is coming out. I'm not too sure about it. Keanu looks, Keanu can do it. I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about the cast. It's just that I'm not sure what they're doing. You got one of the Wachowskis. I think they're directing it. And I don't know, because Matrix is kind of hit and miss back in the day. The Kingsman is a third installment of the Kingsman series, and it goes back into a period piece. This looks like it's around World War II, maybe something like that. And they're showing they're showing where the Kingsman started. I'll try and get to that next week, also. The week after Spider-Man and all that. And we'll see what happens, but I'm looking forward to a few movies. Definitely looking forward to next year because of COVID, a lot of productions have stopped. Oh, by the way, Black Panther, Letitia Wright, she's all better. So she's going to be in Black Panther 2, of course, but they halted production seemingly because she had gotten into a serious injury. At first they weren't saying it was bad, and since then they had said that she had possibly suffered concussion. It's from little bits that I was reading. She might suffer a concussion. She might hurt her shoulder and so forth. But now she seems better, fully healed, and they're going to start production, I think, in January. So we should be on schedule to see Black Panther probably in 2022, maybe 23. I think 22. I think we'll see it in 2022. Also in the news, Charlie Cox, that played Daredevil on the Netflix TV series, he's coming back. He's coming into the Marvel Universe, and I think the rest, I think everybody but Iron Fist, which thank goodness. I think everybody's coming back, but Charlie Cox, there was some photos that were leaked of Charlie Cox showing up in Spider-Man, and I'm excited that they officially said that he's coming back. Now, is he coming back in the movies, or is he coming back in his own Disney Plus series? Either way, I would be excited, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if Disney's ready to feature a Daredevil series on Disney Plus, because that was some rough stuff. And if they bring Disney, they're going to water it down if they bring it to Disney Plus, I think, maybe. And I don't want to see it watered down, because it was a brutal but very impacting series that was on Netflix. Vince D'Onofrio, he played Kingpin, and he was a kingpin, the way he was killing people, but he played a great role as a villain. Charlie Cox was so much better than Ben Affleck. Oh my goodness, Ben Affleck. In the last episode, I told you guys about my my list of Marvel movies. The Marvel comic-based cinematic universe, the Marvel comic based cinematic universe. These are all the movies that are based on Marvel comics, and Daredevil is one of the worst. The Ben Affleck Daredevil is one of the worst. It just had good effects, that's it, but it was one of the worst movies. But Daredevil, the series on Netflix, was such a great series. You talk about something dramatic that brings the superhero genre into a real life setting. And there were guest stars, and it kind of shot off into all the other series. I don't know how Disney is going to bring that. I don't know how Disney is going to bring Kingpin smashing the guy's head. Smash a guy's head on a car door, or stuff like that, or Charlie Cox just getting pummeled or pummeling, just these brutal scenes. And not to mention the other shows, Luke Cage starring Mike Coulter, Jessica Jones with what's her name, Kristen Ritter. These shows are not for kids. They were not for kids. Luke Cage was a little bit less violent. It was more about him just being an upstanding brother in Harlem in New York, and Luke Cage kind of could be on Netflix. I mean, not Netflix. Luke Cage could kind of be on Disney Plus. But the other shows, I would hate to see them lose any of their dramatic effect. But I am excited. I'm excited that Charlie Cox is back in the MCU universe. That's going to be a treat. All right. Well, let me wrap up the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed I hope you enjoyed my conversations and so forth. I was going to get into little social topics, but I'm going to leave that for the next show or something like that. But again, I'm glad to be on Urban Social Lights, NJ.com. Find me on the Indie Live Music Radio. Love that. And you can find me on Spotify. Just look up Geek's Old Brother. You'll find me on there, Your Fandom Fix. And this is episode 2. Hopefully you'll stick around and listen to a few more episodes. I plan to have my guests on there. I plan to have, my guest hosts on there that can talk about different subjects. And also guest interviews. I love talking to people, so I want to have some guest interviews. Maybe somewhere beginning of next year, I'll start to get a few guest interviews and stuff. But I'm just doing a very organic show, just getting back into podcasting. Like I mentioned in my last show, I used to do podcasts for a few years. I did podcasts for a few years, and I loved it. This one I'm going to do solo for now, and see where it goes, and just let it grow and let it happen. I also want to tell you guys, I got a Patreon account. You can look for me on Patreon if you want to help out the show financially. But I'm gonna change the Patreon. I'm not big into donations. I really want to get into products and events and stuff like that. But if you do want to help out the show, if you want to give like $1 a month, that would help me get some equipment, stuff like that. And hopefully the listenership will grow where I can really do this even more and have more important guests and stuff like that. I would love that. But I'm like I said, I'm not big into donations. You supported the show. I would love it financially. But also, if you just want to throw out some, shout outs on Twitter or Instagram or something like that, I'm all over the place. You can find me on social media everywhere: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find me on different things. I don't really do TikTok. That's for the younger brothers and sisters. I do want to do some Instagram stuff, some little quick movie reviews. Also getting into a little fitness on Instagram. I love to encourage people to be more fit and just to have their mind right and their, bodies right and stuff like that. Just to really, really have a positive outlook on their lives and stuff. I just want to encourage you all to just really have some good mental health. You know, talk to people you have to talk to, talk to friends, talk to therapists, whatever, but have some good mental health. It's been a stressful year or two with COVID and stuff like that. We lost some family members, not myself. I'm just us as a community. We'd lost family members and friends and stuff. And, you know, in order to cope, if you have to talk to somebody, you know, it'd be good to seek out some help or something like that. But otherwise, I'm just here to give a positive attitude and to tell you guys about some nerdy stuff. We can get into some conversations, things that I'm passionate about, things that you all are passionate about, feature some different topics and stuff like that. And also get into some serious social issues that that can affect us as a community. Like I said, I'm a black geek, so I kind of tend to feature things in the black nerd community, the blurred community. But this is an all-encompassing show, so anybody from any background is more than welcome to comment and be a part of the conversation. There's no gates here. I don't want to put up any walls for anybody or anything, except for, you know, like racist or misogynist or any type of prejudice that you can think of. I'm not into that. I don't want to really get into those conversations. Although I will go against all those things in my conversations, in my commentary. I'll go against all those things. But otherwise, I'm not into hating anybody. I'm into hopefully everybody feeling good about each other and just us coming together as a community, as a nerd geek community. Also, I have to give a shout out to my good friend Emilio of Walker Brothers Goods on Instagram. He does the music, the background music behind the show, so I really appreciate that. Well, he did the background music behind the show. He gave me a nice little beat. Shout out to everybody. And then I got a shout out Lisa Dean of Blur Dating. She invited me this past Monday. We did so basically Blur Dating is like a comedy social media entity of bad dates in the black nerd community. So Lisa Dean features the first Monday of every month, she features a hashtag show. So you go on Twitter, you follow the hashtag Blur Dating, and you read all the comments over a featured story of somebody just retelling a bad date. And she invited me on as a guest host, as she does occasionally. And I really appreciate her, really appreciate her support of my Geek Soul Brother brand. And it was just fun. It's just a fun time laughing and talking. And she also gets into like the you know, the ins and outs of dating and so forth. Really nice time, really fun to be with. So shout out to Lisa. I really appreciate being on your show and stuff. And that's about it. You guys, again, look me up, geeksoulbrother.com, not .com, not my site. Geek Soul Brother on Spotify, Geek Soul Brother here and there. Maybe I'll put a site up. I might put a site up eventually again. I used to have a blog, but, you know, podcasting is my thing. I'd rather do the podcasting than write a lot. I do appreciate my chances to write, but I like talking, as you can see. I do like talking and so forth. So, just look me up on social media. Give me a shout out. Hit me up. Give me some commentaries. If you want me to feature something on a show or give you a shout out, just let me know and I'll do that. But until then, you guys take care. I'll see you next week. I'll see you after Spider-Man No Way Home. See how that turns out. Hopefully I can get a Guillermo horror movie out too, and we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about some stuff, Hawkeye and all that, and other shows that The Witcher should be coming out soon too. So we'll talk about that soon enough. But until then, you guys take care, and I'll see you in the geek universe. Talk to you later. This has been a Geek Soul Brother production, and your fandom fix is copyrighted By Geek Soul Brother, all rights reserved.